Thank you, Maharaj, very much for the opportunity that you're giving us. We are all very happy that you're giving us such a nice opportunity to hear from you.
So, Varnashram is an aspect of Dharma or religion. So, religion is defined as the inherent nature of something. So, to actually understand, Dharma practically for ourselves, we have to know who we are. So, we are the living entity, the soul. And as Lord Chaitanya explains, then we are the eternal servant of Krishna. So the nature of service to Krishna, that is our inherent nature. That is the primary religion, you can say, of the soul. So the knowledge of this, the qualities of this, the activities of this, then these are all directed towards Krishna. Now, when these activities of devotional service are then directed towards the material energy or the material elements or material things and material qualities and material relationships, then it becomes secondary religion. So when the natural activities and knowledge of bhakti, or the primary, is then directed at the material energy, material qualities, and material relationships, then it takes on the secondary nature. See, is that bhakti is the, inherent, the dharma of the soul to be engaged in devotional service. So when this becomes directed towards the material objects, material things, material qualities, and material relationships, it takes on the secondary nature. So the secondary nature means, the knowledge, the activities in that are being used, so they maintain the body. While the primary activities, the devotion to Krishna, that maintains the soul. So as long as we're in the material body, then the secondary aspects are used. But their only value is their support of the primary. It's just like, let's say, a nice cooking pot assists in cooking. But the principle of cooking is inherent in itself. And so it's not dependent upon a particular pot. Right? So therefore, then the Varnashram system is a secondary endeavor or secondary dharma that is used to maintain the body and mind, in Krishna's service. Right? So that would mean that, the things that we possess, the house, our furnitures, our clothes, our money, the qualities that we have, good qualities, behaving nicely, and the relationships that we have with family and friends, these can all be connected to Krishna, as secondary religion, if it's seen in context of the primary. Right? Because otherwise people are using their material knowledge and things and qualities in material relationships, and they just maintain the body in these relationships, and then with time, it all disappears. It's temporary. So it's important to understand this, that it's useful, but it's not the main thing. It's not equal to the main thing. It's primary and secondary. A good cook can manifest cooking through the kitchen, but the kitchen on its own never cooks. So if that's appreciated, then we understand, okay, well, what is the benefit of brahmachari training? So in the Vedic system, then training to take part in human life is done in brahmachari ashram. So the brahmachari is the first stage in the varnashram system. And so the training that's in the brahmachari ashram, that'll be the foundation for all the other varnas and ashrams. It's not that Brahmacharya Ashram stand on its own, then Grihastha on its own, then Vanaprastha on its own, then Sannyasa on its own. They're all based on the training learned in Brahmacharya Ashram. And same with the Varnas. So in the Brahmachari training, then you have the six different main fields of training. We're talking about the qualities that are there. So then in this position, then the first one is that of respect. Second one is then learning, you know, the Vedic knowledge and other practical knowledge. The third then is having a proper service attitude. Fourth is engaging in practical service. The fifth is the control of the senses. And the sixth is understanding yourself and time, place, and circumstance in how to properly dress and act and speak. Right? So respect means you understand how to deal with others. The study of the scriptures means then you actually have proper knowledge according to a standard Vedic version. Having a service attitude means you're willing to work, you're enthusiastic. Practical service means you're able to do service and commit yourself to, you know, standard activities or stable activities.
Sorry, Maharaj, can you repeat?
Practical service means you're able to commit and maintain a service. Then controlling the senses means the senses don't just run away and do whatever they like, but you're actually able to engage them properly. And then the sixth one is you know how to socially interact, you know, in the various time, places, and situations you're in. So in respect is that the living entity has the foolish idea I'm the controller and enjoyer, so he has no respect for anyone unless they're supportive of that idea. Right? So then that the primary application of respect is that respect for Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. So if one has respect for Krishna and the devotees, then one is able to move forward properly. Because otherwise, then what's the direction? Where are you going? So naturally, because everything's connected to Krishna, there's that proper attitude of respect in how you deal with everyone. So living entities around us in that, they're all part and parcel of Krishna. We deal properly with everyone. So if you do that, you're considered cultured. But unless that's seen in context that everybody is servant of Krishna, therefore you're dealing with everything and everyone in that context properly, then it won't be spiritual. You know, we deal with family and friends nicely, then that's pious. That's cultured. But when we see the context of these are devotees and devotees, it pleases Krishna to serve devotees, then it takes on that spiritual element. Of course, serving devotees, interacting with devotees, you'll always have benefit. But you get more benefit when you actually understand that, you know, them in relation to Krishna. Right? So now, who are we? What are we supposed to do? Everything. Then that is given by Krishna in the form of the scriptures. And of scriptures, then the Srimad Bhagavatam is the foremost. So it is the authority when it comes to the scriptural. So that, therefore, then we approach the scriptures as given by the acharyas to understand and serve Krishna to please Krishna. So that's our approach to the scriptures. So by the instruction of Krishna and the acharyas, then we can please Krishna. We can develop love for Krishna, right? We develop love for Krishna, then we actually appreciate everyone in connection with Krishna. So behaving properly towards everyone, then that's going to come because of our behaving properly towards Krishna. Then this third aspect of having that attitude of service, by our conditioning, we think I'm the, you know, I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. But then we have to understand, no, I'm servant of Krishna. So we have to have that attitude to appreciate and serve Krishna. So that, and so that service to Krishna, that's the primary aspect. That is the primary, activity of the soul, right? So we're going to serve. We see everything in connection with Krishna. And then we, understand from the scriptures, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra about Krishna. And then we naturally engage, or have an understanding of that surrender to Krishna and service to Krishna. So when that proper attitude is there of willingness to serve, then we'll be, we can be properly engaged. Otherwise we'll be lazy. Then the fourth, we practically apply that. So now we have respect for authority. We follow scriptures. We're willing to serve. Now we engage in service. So it's not whimsical. It's based on the authority of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. It's based on the principle of trying to please Krishna. So, yes. And so, yes. So that's then how we apply ourselves. So now we have the understanding, you know, we have this conditioned idea of being controller and enjoyer. So that has to be properly directed. Right? So that's done through controlling the senses. Right? So then Rupa Goswami then is defining that controlling the senses, then you control the tongue. Right? You control what you eat. You control how much you eat. So naturally you control the sexual urge. And then the other aspect, we control what we speak. Then that controls the mind. That controls the anger. Right? So that is, you know, seeing that we're not doing something that is inappropriate. But then we're engaged in positive activities by taking the senses and connecting him to Krishna through the nine processes of devotional service. And so in that way, then we are engaging ourselves practically in activities of, we can engage ourselves practically in activities of devotional service because the senses are not engaged in material activities. So control doesn't mean stopping the senses. Control means engaging them in the positive activities of devotional service. Then the last point that we have then is the understanding of, you know, our position, you know, our age, you know, whatever it is that we, you know, that are identifying factors. And so yes, then we engage ourselves in proper dealings and etiquette and activities based on understanding who we are. Right? So the main thing is we're serving the Krishna, of course. And so therefore we'll engage in activities of devotional service based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. You know, by engaging our senses in service of Krishna. Based on what is our particular, how you say, secondary nature or conditioned nature, what that is so we can engage it in Krishna's service. Because if you can't identify what is your conditioned nature, then how do you engage it in Krishna's service? Right? It means if we don't understand these things, but we have respect for others who do and follow their direction, then we'll be engaged nicely. Because we must understand according to our nature, according to our qualities, according to our age, according to our position, there's certain things we would naturally do and there's things we would not do. It's about serving Krishna. So we're engaging our nature, but it's about our, connecting our nature to Krishna for Krishna's happiness. So, because otherwise, a lot of times people get confused. They don't understand this point because they'll say, we're not the body, we're the soul. So, but yes, we're not the body, we're the soul, but we're going to engage the senses in Krishna's service. And we are not the senses. We're not the body. We're also not the mind or the intelligence or the false ego. But these are elements that we, having a conditioned nature, engage in Krishna's service. So if we want to use for Krishna, then we should actually be doing, engaging our senses in a way that Krishna is pleased that we engage our senses. And so, therefore, then one follows the scriptural directions, the directions of the acharyas, how that particular conditioning, how those senses in that particular nature are engaged. Does that make sense? Okay, so are there any questions on this?
Okay. Yes, my father has a question.
Okay.
I would like to know the basic difference between guru and sadhu.
Guru means your specific spiritual masters, you know, diksha siksha gurus. Sadhu means people who may not be in that category, but can give relevant direction. You know, like let's say we hear from Maitreya Muni in the Bhagavatam. He's not specifically our diksha siksha guru, but he's giving, you know, relevant instruction based on the Veda. So you could take it that sadhu means the preachers. Does that work?
Does it mean saint, right?
Yeah, it means those who practice the directions given in the by the scripture.
There is a very close connection between sadhu and guru, because it says guru, sadhu, and shastra.
Yes, because shastra is the basis of evidence. And so then we hear about the shastra from the acharyas. Then that's given to us by the founder acharya, Srila Prabhupada. And then other preachers, and that, then they give, and the guru gives us relevant instruction for us to apply in our position. Because this guru is giving instruction, but we're moving in the society of Vaishnavas. And so in that society of Vaishnavas, then we value those who can speak something on Krishna and give us some direction connected to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Okay. Very nice.
Maharaj, you are saying that the training that you have in Brahmachari will be used in all other ashrams.
Yes.
Okay. So when the person enters into Krishna consciousness, but the person is already married or it's an old age, but she has to apply all these principles. So does that person can follow and all this and learn all these six principles, even though it's already passed the training of the Brahmachari, that the stage, can that person still do all of them, and how, you know, that works?
Yes, it just means then you have to apply it from the point of using the intelligence. So we see in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam and that, then discussions about devotional service, you know, what's the proper understanding, what's the proper attitudes, and then seeing that connection, and then we try to use it in our life. Difference is that in the brahmacharis in the ashram, so someone's there constantly telling them what to do and what not to do, you know. And so if we, you know, without having that kind of opportunity, then we have to be more self-disciplining. And so we see what the scriptures recommend, what Prabhupada's recommending, and we try to follow that in our life, ourself, right? Try to appreciate, try to understand, try to apply, right? And then we have the association of devotees. We see how they behave. We hear from them how to behave. And so in that way, then we try to apply these principles in our life. Because anyway, even someone has gone to Gurukul and got this training, they still, as a grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, have to apply it themselves. Right? It means the temple commander doesn't come to your house and tell you what to do. Right? So you have to apply it yourself. But having, been trained, then it's a matter of, application. Right? And so you see, more wider and wider, ways of applying this knowledge, this training. And you see deeper and deeper appreciation and understanding. So that application and using the intelligence is always there. But it just means that if one's in that position without the previous training, then whatever one hears about, whatever one reads in Prabhupada's books, one contemplates it and tries to apply it. So there's no loss. It's just that, you have to, in the beginning, kind of do both of these things at once. And as one, with time, by practice, then it becomes more and more about applying what you're reading and what you're hearing. Because we have to remember, the primary thing is the devotional service. So connecting everything to Krishna, that's the main aspect. Learning these further details about the service to Krishna, ways of technically applying ourselves to Krishna, that comes with time and practice. But the important thing is that it's being done to please Krishna. That make sense?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
There's one more question coming, but they're just typing it in because it's the temple where they're listening in the kitchen.
Aha.
But maybe we can continue if somebody else has a question first.
Dandavat Pranavas Maharaj.
Yes.
So, what is the term Grihastha Brahmachari?
Yes.
Can you speak about that?
About Grihastha Brahmachari?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Grihastha Brahmachari means that he's a Grihastha, but his senses are being engaged in the Lord's service. He's following the direction of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, right? And so therefore then these principles of Brahmacharya are being practiced. While the Brahmachari is in, their own ashram, just with other Brahmacharis.
Sorry, Maharaj, can you repeat?
The Brahmachari is in the ashram with other Brahmacharis. But a Grihastha Brahmachari then lives in his house with his family. Right, but the same principles of connecting everything to Krishna remains. Just Grihasthas have much more wider range of facility that they're connecting to Krishna. Right? The Brahmachari doesn't really have his own private things so much, but the Grihastha may have a wide range of these, of private things.
Okay.
Right? So the Brahmachari is given things by the temple to use for Krishna. Right? And basically he's given direction what to do. And so the Grihastha then means that they themselves, what range of facilities and activities they have, they need themselves to make that connection to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Keka, does she have a question?
You got it written?
No, the question already got answered.
Already got answered.
Yeah, the one that was going to be asked. Maharaj, I was wondering, when you're talking about the six principles, the fourth one about engaging in practical service.
Mm-hmm.
So what helps us to maintain that commitment in our service?
The previous one, the third one, and that understanding of how we're servant of Krishna, and desiring to serve Krishna, therefore desiring to be engaged in his service. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's two things. You have to have that service attitude, then you're doing service. Because you might have people that are doing service, but they'd rather not. And so they don't have the service attitude. And then you have those who may have the service attitude, but may not be engaged in service. Right? So by having the service attitude, you engage in service. By engaging in service, then that develops our desire to know more about Krishna and then to apply that. And, right? So, that that verse, tad vidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. It means that pranipata, there's the desire to know, to you inquire, right? Then mm-hmm. desiring to know, then you inquire, you contemplate, and then you apply it. So inquiry means to remove doubts. And removing doubts, then we want to apply.
Yes. That make sense? Yes, Maharaj. And how do we best apply our knowledge and skills that we have when we're doing that service? What's the best understanding?
Means that what is that knowledge and skill for? What can it accomplish? Right? And then how is that accomplishment connected to Krishna? You know, so in that way, we try to make the connection. What does Krishna recommend for that particular kind of knowledge and skill? Right? You know, what's the proper attitude? You know, what result does it generate? So how does that fit in that we're doing this to please Krishna? Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
My question is about a brahmacharya who is specifically engaged in sankirtan and book distribution and have to deal directly with the object of the senses. What is the right posture for him to be protected? Not posture, I think frame of mind or something related to that.
Everything is Krishna's energy. So it's for engaging in Krishna's service. Engaging in Krishna's service means becoming Krishna conscious. So however that individual can be connected to Krishna, then that's what you're doing. You know, specifically in context of distributing books. So they may appreciate the knowledge of the books, and then, so then they purchase one of the books, they'll take it home, they'll read it, right? They'll come to the temple, associate with the devotees, right? Be engaged in devotional service, right? And this way then take up, committed devotional practice. So either that person may read the book and be interested in Krishna, or they may give the book to someone else, or the book just sits on the shelf and then someone else finds it. So many stories are there of that the person who bought the book didn't do anything with it, but some other relative or friend or something, then they ended up finding the book and reading it and becoming a devotee. I think it was the other day, heard about someone where I think the grandfather must have bought the book, had it on his shelf. Then after they passed away, then they were, distributing all of his things. And then the Bhagavad Gita, then, somebody, the aunt or somebody said, oh, hey, I think you'll be interested in this. Right? And then they read the book and then they became a devotee. Right? Like that. So you're engaging people, connecting them to Krishna. That's what the book distribution is for. Right? So whether you're doing it because you're distributing knowledge or because you understand it's the proper thing to do, it's the proper duty, or you see it as, you appreciate the aspect of the exchange of funds. Yeah, money. It means you give book, yeah. I get money. Or it's just someone has that ability and art on how to sell things. Right, so they could sell you a house or a used car, but instead they sell you a book about Krishna. So in this way, then everybody can engage in Krishna's service. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would like to know more specifically how to prevent myself from contemplating all the objects of the sense that we are exposed while doing. We are very exposed to the object of the sense. So how do we protect ourselves from contemplating?
Because they're all Krishna's energies.
Porque eles são todos energias.
We're in the material world because we think Krishna's energy is for us to enjoy. In the spiritual world, they see everything connected to Krishna, so nothing's for their own enjoyment. So we just appreciate that, it's Krishna's energy, so you connect it to Krishna. Does that make any more sense?
Jai, thanks, Maharaj.
Okay.
Maharaj, there's another question from Itajay Mandir from the kitchen. It's Harikanta Prabhu. He says, Maharaj said that Grihastha Brahmacharis live in their houses. Is that necessary, or does a Grihastha Brahmachari can live in the temple?
Can live in the temple. He's there with the wife and the family, and they, you know, are engaged in full-time service in the temple, then that can work. So the point is that if you're comfortable with the facility that the temple can provide, then it makes life easy. But if you want more than what the temple can provide, then you have to make arrangements to get it yourself. So in other words, the more you need, the more you need to get it yourself. You know, so there becomes a point in which living in the temple for such a person may not be practical. But if a simple temple service, simple temple facility is good, then why not? But you're engaging a family in Krishna's service. The brahmachari is not doing that. Does that work?
Yes, Maharaj, it's answered, they said.
It's answered, okay.
Yes. Very nice. Sorry, we have to wait for them to type in. They said thank you very much.
Okay, nice.
Are there any more questions?
Thank you for your kind mercy to share with us your knowledge, your disposition to share everything. By the grace of the devoted and Krishna, I am able to be in this ashram of Brahmachari. I would like to know how to intensify our desire to serve. Because to chant properly, we have to have the intense desire to serve. So what can I do to increase the desire to serve?
I mean, see, the important element in all this is association of devotees, right? The association of devotees, then we have the example, we have the, then we get that inspiration, right? We read in the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, how devotees are, you know, inspired and engaged in Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya's service. And so in this way, we become inspired to, you know, be nicely engaged, right? So that association, that's the driving force. So Rupa Goswami mentions you should associate with those more advanced than yourself, right? So we have, you know, those around us that we can associate with, and we have the books like that. You're reading Bhagavad Gita, you're associating with Arjuna and Krishna. And then you have Prabhupada's purports, then we're hearing from him. Right? Nectar devotion, and you're associating with Rupa Goswami. Like this. And then we have the local community of devotees. And this way, then we can be inspired. Yes?
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Is there anything else?
There's a different way of preaching which doesn't involve the brahmachari life. For example, in Brazil, there's little ashrams due to this new style of preaching. So what's the danger and the loss of the persons not going through this stage of brahmachari?
Is that the question or there's more?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. It just means that you have less of that natural training where you can just develop these qualities before applying them. And we say it's a new system, but it's actually a very old system. In the Manusamhita, then there Bhrigu Muni talks about, he gives the definition of what is modern, right? So that means in the Vedic literatures, the concept of modern is already there. So then Bhrigu Muni gives the definition there that modern means not Vedic. So you always have those who follow the Vedic literature and you always have those who don't. Right? So depending upon the age, there'll be more or less. So in Kali Yuga, then a lot of people don't follow. So not following the Veda is pretty ordinary. You know, it's nothing special. you know, people try to make it out, oh, this is the new thing, this is the real thing, this is the happening thing. And this is just the regular, old, mundane, avoid the Veda that's been around forever. Right? The living entity thinks, I am the controller, I'm the enjoyer, so I do what I want. Nothing new. Nothing special. Very ordinary. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
So you can do that, but then the point is unless you know what you're dealing with, why would you change it? If you don't know cooking, how do you make up your own recipe? So Krishna's given a system. Krishna is eternal. His energies are eternal. So his laws are eternal. So this idea that, oh, that's old fashioned, you can't do that anymore. That statement's only for those who are foolish. Because Krishna is eternal, his laws always work. And if we want to talk about not doing old things, what about breathing or eating, sleeping or having sex? Those are so old, so ordinary. Everybody's doing them. Can't we move on and do something else? What? You're still breathing? I mean, that's so old fashioned. You know, why don't you get it together? You know, be modern, you know, be up to date. You understand? So there's a false ego thinking, I'm so intelligent, I'm so together that I can make up my own system of devotional service and it's better than what everybody else is doing. And then individuals of the same modes, they get together, on the back, and they all think they're fabulous. And then there's Krishna consciousness. That's something else. That's based on Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So one has to actually understand what you're dealing with. I mean, because of course, like dogs, they don't go to Gurukul, but then they're dogs. They're not human. They're good?
Yes. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay.
Is there anybody else? We're almost at the end now, Maharaj. So, would you to finish at 5 of your time?
Oh, we finish at 5?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I still have, okay. So 3:30 to 5. Okay. Okay, so then basically speaking means that to appreciate that the primary is serving Krishna, and the secondary is what is the nature of our body, mind, and words, and how to connect that to Krishna. And we always have to remember, Krishna is the Lord of both the spiritual and the material world. Krishna is still in control of the material energy. The laws of nature are Krishna's laws. So we should never think that we're more intelligent than Krishna or the Acharyas or Shastra. Yeah, so like that. So then can thinking about this can put together questions. Maybe they can all send them to somebody. And then, we can continue tomorrow.
And we can make a note that I think Naimachi has a question, so we can start with that tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Maharaj, for your time and giving us the opportunity to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you. Jai.
Srila
Prabhupada.
Jai.
Bhakti Vidya Purna Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Jai.